Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Yeah, preaching on a tune-up this morning. Now, I want you to know that God is interested in every aspect of your life. Jesus said this in John chapter 10 and verse 9. He said, I am the door, or I am the gate. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. He will go in and come out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but, everybody say but. But I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. And around communion, we had Richard Forsyth sharing Isaiah 53, particularly verse 5. It's an incredible verse because, you know, often as church people, we think, oh, God just wants to save me spiritually. But I want you to know God's interested in every aspect of your world. Isaiah 53, 5 says, he was bruised for our iniquities, pierced for our transgressions, the punishment that brought us peace. So there's a spiritual restoration that happens in our lives, but there's an emotional rescue that happens. Not only do we have the peace of God, but we have peace with God. So there's an emotional rescue, and by his stripes we have been healed. There's a physical work that God wants to do in all of our lives. And so God's interested. Every now we need to tune up. Anybody need to tune up this morning? How many people know, hey, it's better to go for a tune-up before the problem happens? We've got some mechanics in the crowd today, I'm sure. And we need to go to a mechanic. You know, you don't wait for the engine to start grinding, blue smoke to come pouring out of your exhaust, or your engine to seize up and you're stuck on the Waco's Parkway calling the NRMA. It's too late then for a tune-up. Go to the mechanic early. Now, I was in Chrissy Burrow's office recently, and she has a really good mechanic. She goes, in fact, his picture's on the wall. Here's the mechanic that, this is the mechanic, girls. Maybe you should be taking your car to this guy's garage. He'll look after you. Okay. So this morning we're going to be looking at the man who needed the biggest tune-up in history. In fact, anybody watch that show on TV, Renovation Rescue? I don't know, but before the renovation needs to come the rescue. We're going to look at a guy who needed to get rescued. And then God began to renovate every area of his world. I'm just going to be preaching out of Mark chapter 5, verse 1 today. One of my favorite stories in the entire Bible, because this person reminds me of me before I got saved. And it's the demoniac of the Gadarenes. I know I am crazy, but I'm insane, but I'm not criminally insane anymore. And God's been doing some good things. So there's a guy here, this guy, if you think you had problems, or maybe you've got teenagers, you think they're a problem, mate, they're nothing compared to this guy. And I tell you, if Jesus can fix this guy, he can fix anybody. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, give me some love. Pastors need love too, you know. Come on. Come on. Come on. Okay, here we go. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. This is Jesus and his disciples. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." So here's this guy. Mate, this guy's got problems. I mean, this guy has got, and not just spiritual problems. This guy has got problems in every area. In fact, if we were just to rate the six key aspects of his life, what I feel the six key aspects of people's lives are, and maybe as we're going through this and looking at this guy, it'll make you feel good in comparison, won't it? I mean, that's why some people buy ugly dogs, because then they look in the mirror, they think, mate, I'm not as good as, and then they look down and think, hey, there's other people worse off than yourself, is that right? Come on, come on. Okay, so, you know, And let's just look at this guy's spiritual life, shall we? I mean, his spiritual world. Let's rate him 0 to 10, 0 being really bad, 10 being excellent. See how he's going spiritually. Well, let's rate him, shall we? I mean, okay, let's analyze him. He's filled with thousands of demons. He's not worshiping God in any way, shape, or form. He's anti. In fact, he might very well be the Antichrist. I mean, who knows? Okay, so what would we rate him out of 10? 0. It'll come up in a minute. 0 out of 10. Whoa! What about his soul? What about his emotional well-being? How's it going on? How's his peace indicator? Peace, bro. There's a bunch of them in Avalon voting yesterday. Peace, everybody. Amen. Okay. Okay. You know, like emotionally, peace, joy. How's he getting on? Well, you know what? Not very well. In fact, very, very badly indeed. He lies awake all night, screaming at the top of his voice, hurting himself, tearing at his body. He's naked. He's just crazy. The poor guy, he's covered with excrement. Excrement, ladies and gentlemen, blood, saliva. I mean, this guy, emotionally, what do we score him out of 10? 0. 0. Okay. So he's not doing very well. Okay. But let's look at him relationally. Another key indicator in somebody's world. How's he going relationally? Well, here's this. He doesn't have a friend in the world. He doesn't have a friend in the world. In fact, when people see him coming down the road, they run in the opposite direction. He's living a completely dysfunctional life, estranged from his family. What do we give him in his relationships? 0. 0. Okay. What about his body? What about physically? Well, he's naked. He's bleeding. He's bruised. He's covered in all sorts of bodily fluids. His hair, his beard, he's got a beard like Billy Gibbons, the guitar player for ZZ Top. I mean, this guy, physically speaking, he's naked. He's got nothing. What do we give him out of 10? 0. Okay, physically. All right, well, he's not doing too good, is he? Really? He's struggling. But how about his financial life? How's that going? Well, he's actually a homeless person who's naked, who lives in the tombs. He's unemployed and unemployable. He's destitute. He has nothing. His prospects and his current life are 0. But what about a service to God? I mean, I think these are 6 key indicators of how we're going and how this guy was going. How's he going in his service to God? I mean, he was created by God and for God to serve him and to bring glory to the name of God throughout the earth. How's he going in his service to God? 0. Although maybe you could almost give him a 1, because maybe his life serves as a warning to other people. Serve God or you'll end up like this guy. But let's face it, this guy's life, are we agreed that this guy needs a bit of a tune-up in his world? And as we're going through these 6 indicators, I'd like you to look at yourself now. Compared to this guy, you're going to be going great. Okay, so look at your own world and say, hey, God, what do I need to happen in my world? What sort of a tune-up do I need to occur in my life? Because we see he runs down and he comes. And here's the thing. He comes down out of the tombs. Now, I think actually he would be employed in the 21st century. I think he could be a professional wrestler. Because he could have the hair, the beard, the chains hanging off, you know. And so he comes. Jesus arrives. And this guy runs down out of the tombs. He's hair everywhere, blood, spit. He's going, and he's screaming. He's naked. It's, you know, I'll leave that with you. But he's running down the hill. It's not a pretty sight, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a pretty sight. And he runs, and so if it was wrestling, it'd be, ladies and gentlemen, from parts unknown, weight unknown, the demoniac. From the tombs of the Gerasenes in this corner. And there he is. And then in this corner, ladies and gentlemen, the undefeated, undisputed King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Well, who's going to win? It's a no contest. The guy runs down, falls at his feet, rolls around, begs Christ for mercy. And then after a while, when the dust settles, everyone from the surrounding villages comes out. And they all rush out to see what's going on. And it says here in verse 15 of Mark chapter 5, when they came to Jesus, they saw. Now, they didn't actually look at Jesus. They might have had a glance. It's Jesus, okay, he's God in the flesh, that's all good. But what about this guy here? They weren't looking at Jesus. They saw the man. Can I say this? Jesus is now in heaven. People can't see him, but they can see you. They can see me. They can see ordinary people who are struggling with stuff they couldn't control, but Jesus intervened in their lives and did a miracle. Now they're living functioning lives. Come on, let's worship God. Let's thank him. You know what people say about Australian, you know, when you're preaching to people, you know, like in America, I mean, I'd love to preach in a black church. I mean, because I think I'm actually black on the inside, you know, like. And, you know, people go, you know, oh, but Australians, they're not like that. They're very, you know, they sit back. They're very reserved. Are they really? Well, this afternoon, Manly are playing Penrith. And when Manly win 40-0, do you think the crowd will be reserved? Do you think they'll be sitting there, another try to George Tafua, 80-metre run? Are they going to be doing that? No. They're going to be excited. So I think we need to be consistent. We need to be more excited about God than we are about a game of football. Come on, get happy. Get happy, everybody. Okay, all right, that's good. Now, so number one, let's rate where this guy's at now after he's had an encounter with God and after there's other things that have been happening in his life. Okay, first thing we see in verse 15 is this. He's sitting there. Verse 15, he's sitting. Where's he sitting? He's sitting at the feet of Jesus in relationship with God himself. He's gone from zero. He's moving ahead. There's been a change in his world. He's now worshiping God, sitting at his feet. He's in the house of God worshiping Jesus. So from being a naught, he's on his way to being a 10. Isn't that awesome? And it comes through having an encounter with God. It's awesome. He's on his way to being 10. How's he doing emotionally? Well, he's sitting there dressed and he's in his right mind. He's sane. He's been healed. He's been set free. He's not troubled anymore. He's filled with peace. He's not depressed anymore. He's filled with joy. His life has been transformed. He's now sane and whole emotionally. He was a naught. Now he's on his way to being a 10. Isn't that awesome? Come on, get happy. Get happy, mate. There's so many people in Australia struggling with depression. Struggling with areas in their mind they can't control. And I believe a power encounter with Christ. But then often there's a process with professional people and family and all that sort of stuff. And these people are on a journey to the healing. So they're totally and utterly restored emotionally. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. And you know, suicide and depression, people getting set free from tendencies to commit suicide. I mean, this guy was suicidal, was cutting himself. But thank God, God wants to save us spiritually, but also emotional. He's sitting there, he's in his right mind. But thirdly, relationally, finally at the end of this, he comes to Christ. And it says here in verse 18, Jesus now, he's going in. As Jesus getting into the boat, the man who'd been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus didn't let him, saying, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Relationally, this guy has gone from being totally and utterly dysfunctional, estranged from his family, his community and his friends. But can you imagine what his town would have been like one evening a couple of days later maybe the family's sitting around outside and they look and there's somebody coming over the hill and they think, that guy looks familiar. Wait, but it couldn't be. It couldn't be Dad. It couldn't be my husband. It couldn't be my son. It couldn't be my brother. It couldn't be my neighbor. It couldn't be. But wait a minute, he is. And this guy comes back to his home. And thank God that Jesus said, no, no, don't just go preaching. Go back to your family. Share with them the love of God, the plan and purpose of God that he has for his life. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? He's going from a naught to being a 10, to being restored in his relationships. And can I just say, I want to thank God today that God is in the business of restoring marriages. He's in the business of restoring children back to their parents and parents back to their children and families coming back together. God is into unity. God is into families. Isn't it awesome? You know, the Bible says that in the parallel account in the Gospel of Luke, it says this, that the demon had often driven him to solitary places. And you know what? The devil is into isolation. But God is into inclusion and he's into community and he's into people relating with other people. So it's not just about church, it isn't just about a relationship with God, it's about a relationship with everybody around. Let's give God a hand. Thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus. So relationally, he's on his way. He hasn't arrived. He's like you and me. He hasn't arrived yet. You know, like the kids in the back. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not there. But we're on our way into the abundant life that God wants us to have. It's fantastic. Now, what about physically? You know what? The Bible says in verse 15, it says, they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed. He was clothed. I believe his body had been washed and bandaged. His hair had been cut, his beard had been trimmed, he'd been cleaned up. And physically, he wasn't there yet, but he was on his way to becoming a 10 and on his way to being the person that God had always planned him to be, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And then from a ministerial point of view, from the service of God, you know what? He's on his way home, but in verse 20, it says, so the man went away and he's on his way home and he began to tell in the Decapolis, that's 10 cities of that region, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Ministerially, he's on his way. Now he's actually glorifying God with his life. Listen, you don't have to be a preacher in what you say. People are interested. This ain't show me the money. They want to see transformed lives. They want to see Christ-like people. Here's this guy. He goes through these 10 cities. He starts preaching and sharing his testimony. And I'm sure people responded to that in an incredible way. And here's this guy now. Now he's got a ministry. In fact, John Bevere was saying from this very pulpit some time ago, he says, Christian tradition says this man became the bishop of those 10 cities in the church age in the book of Acts. Let's give God a hand. That God's got a call for all of our lives. And from a financial point of view, as he's going, as he's sharing, I'm sure people are reaching and saying, here, take some money and just keep sharing what God has done in your lives. And the sort of life that God's given you, we want him to give to the community around about us. I'm sure then he's able to hold down a job. Then he's able to own a home. Then he's able to live the life. So financially, ministerially, in every area of his life, he's on the way to being a 10. And so God wants to bless us and change us in every area of our life. Isn't that right? Okay, so just look briefly today. I just wanted to look at just some of the agents of change, some of the agents that you and I need to encounter to have a tune-up in our world so we can live as our best selves. You're into that? It's only going to be another 10 minutes, guys, all right? And I just want to share this with you. Number one is this: ultimately, the greatest agent of change that you and I could ever encounter is God himself. Number one, everybody say, encounter God. Each of us is here today because at some time in the past we had an encounter with God, or if you haven't had an encounter with God, you're due for one today. okay, an encounter with God. At the age of 20, I was a binge drinker, stuck in a dead-end job, renting a little shack in a working-class neighbourhood and riding around on a Suzuki 125 motorbike. That was my life. But something happened on the 19th of October, 1976, way back last century, guys, way back. I had an encounter with God. And Jesus, I was zero, and then I started to go on this incredible journey with God, which brings me to where I am today, and I haven't arrived at every area of my life, but you know what? I'm on a journey. How many people are on a journey today to be the people that God's called them? Thank God. It's awesome. So, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this, that the vision that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reigns of, and then it lists four kings, and that they reigned in Judah for 50 years or more. So Isaiah had a vision, but it wasn't just a one-off encounter with God. It was an ongoing encounter with God for 50 years. So he stayed in ministry, he stayed saved, and he stayed in the game. We need to have ongoing encounters with God who can then take us and make us into the people that he's always planned for us to be. Isaiah chapter 49 is going to come on the board in a minute. Just look at this. This is God speaking. He says, listen to me, you islands. Hear me, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made me. Isn't that all? Say, he made me. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. God wants to sharpen and tune each and every one of us up. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow. See, God wants to sharpen. God wants to polish. God wants to tune up every single one of our lives, no matter how long we've been in church, no matter how long we've been worshiping God. See, even Tony and Sue Moylan, who were born good. How many people know they were born good? I mean, but you know what? They need ongoing encounters with God. If Tony and Sue need it, how much more do you and I? I mean, you might say, well, I had an encounter with God. I mean, I had an encounter with God on the 19th of October, 1976. Hey, listen, I also got married on the 2nd of February, 1980. And when we got married, and they said, I do, you may kiss the bride. I kissed my wife for almost the first time. Anyway, okay, enough of that. But anyway, and you know what? When we said I do, I kissed my wife. I did kiss my wife. I am kissing my wife. And I will kiss my wife. And it's like a relationship with God. You have had an encounter with God. You need to be having an encounter with God right now. And into the future, for the rest of your life, you need to be encountering God. Praise God. And that'll tune you up. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's fantastic. Look, secondly, and it's not by might or power, it's by my spirit, Zechariah 4:6. And God will do what we can't do without. See, the demoniac couldn't help himself. He needed God's help, but then he needed people's help. So the first agent of change is God, number one. And as I said before, the devil wants to drive us into a solitary place so we're living a dysfunctional life. God wants to include us in communities. And the first community we need to be included in, the second agent of change, is the church. Can I just say, I want to thank God for this church. How many people love this church? How many people have had ongoing change through the ministry? Can we just give God a hand for C3 Church Oxford Falls? I want to thank God for my church. And it's with like this guy. It wasn't just Jesus who cleaned this guy up. When he was sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, he was clothed. Well, I wonder who clothed him. And I refer back and I think back to Lazarus coming out of the tomb in John 11:44. And it says this, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen. He couldn't do what God had called him to do. I was reading this yesterday. It came to me. I thought it was pretty good. His feet are wrapped. He can't go the places that God wants him to go because his feet are bound. There's a cloth over his face. And you know what? He can't see what God wants him to see. He can't see God. He can't see himself the way God wants him to be. He can't see the world the way God says it should be. But Jesus said to who? To them. Everybody say them. Who's them? Who's them? Them is you. Turn to your neighbor and say, them is you. Them is you. When somebody meets Christ, you see, there's some things that only God can do, and that's change somebody's heart. But then God wants to stand back and say to the church, now I'm handing this person over to you. I want you to walk with this person and walk them through into an abundant life in every area of their world. And so, you know what? It was the church that took off his grave clothes and released Lazarus. And I believe it was the apostles who sat this guy down, who trimmed his hair, who washed his face, who anointed his head with oil, who put ointment on his wounds and his cuts and his bruises, who got some clothes and clothed that guy, put sandals on his feet. It was the church who did this. And I'll tell you this, the ministry of this church and thousands of other churches like this in Australia and throughout the world is clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, housing people who have nowhere to live, caring for the lonely, the hurting, and the dysfunctional. That's not God's job. That's your job, and that's my job. Can we give God a hand? Thank God for the church. And we need, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here this morning, but listen, never stop coming. Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more as you see the day approaching. And mate, if you're not getting any love at home, come to church because there's plenty of love here. Amen. Thank God for that. Come on. God, let's give God a hand again. Come on. Thank you, Lord. It's awesome. Thank God for the church. The third, you know, God's the first agent of change, church second. Thirdly, I believe, is your family. And I believe this family, you need an encounter with your family. And I remember when I got saved, 19th of October 1976, I almost immediately knew, just intuitively, I needed to leave the house where I was flatting with a bunch of no-hopers. And I needed to go and be reconciled with my father, who had had a disastrous divorce with my mum. And you know what? I just knew I had to go home and be with my dad. And there was a healing process that took place. Because because a lot of our lives are worked out, not in isolation, but with our immediate family. I just want to thank God for my wife. I've got three kids. I've got three wonderful grandkids. I've got a daughter-in-law and a son-in-law. I just want to thank God. The tune-up often happens in family life because they know exactly what you're like 24/7. You can't just put on a show. And as they lovingly confront you with your need to change, you can... It's obviously just me today, isn't it? Come on. It's all about Saundy, obviously. But isn't it? Thank God for family. And I know that there's people in this church, you're holding on to that passage in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, where the Philippian jailer goes in and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the Apostle Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved and your household. How many people are believing God for that? How many people? Come on, let's give God a hand to save families. But God might not send Phil Pringle to them, but he's going to send you. He's going to send you. And you're going to be good for them, and they're going to be good for you. Thank God for families. Third agent of change is family. Fourth agent of change is the world. Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And here's the thing. It's not just about being comfortable in church and family and all that stuff. It's putting your life on the line and sharing the testimony about what God has done in your life with the world round about you. And can I just say this? The greatest recipient of your ministry to the world is actually going to be you. Because as you go out and you put your life on the line and you, guess what? You become a bigger person. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. We need to give the world what we've got. And as we create space in our world, guess what? All the stuff's going to come back and we're going to become bigger and better people. You know what? God is looking not just for consumers. And it's great to be in church and be a consumer. It's all good. But you know, the rest of the week, we need to be producers. We need to be people who are going out and sharing God's love with a lost and a hurting world. So we need to be people who are out there touching people. In fact, C.T. Studd, who's one of my great heroes, he's a great missionary and a pioneer of the early 20th century. He was an English lord who played cricket for England, and then he got radically saved, and then he became a missionary to China, to India, and then finally to Africa, where he died. He said these words: "Some like to stay within sound of church and chapel bell. I'd rather run a rescue shop a yard away from hell." And guys, God's looking for big people. God's looking for big people who are going to go into all the world and tell them that what Jesus has done for them, he can also do for the world. Amen. So thank God for going into the world. But you know what? And finally, I'm going to close with this point tonight. The fifth agent of change is yourself. And you need to be open to change. You need to be open to... See, Jesus is here, the church is here, the world's here, your family's there, but you know what? At the end of the day, you need to be prepared to say, yes, I am willing to change. Do you know what? The temperature of your relationship with God rests in your hands. Because James chapter 4 and verse 8 says this: come near to God and he will come near to you. Guys, come near to God. Make a decision. I'm going to be someone who lives in relationship with God, who's always open to having my life tuned up, who's always open to living their best possible life, being their best possible self. God, help me, change me, transform me to be the person that you've called me to be. Now, I'm not into navel gazing, but Lamentations 3:40, and who's ever heard a scripture out of Lamentations preached? Anybody? How about this? Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 40 says this: let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Let's examine ourselves. Let's test ourselves in every area of our life, spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally, financially, ministerially. Let's examine, let's test them, and then let's return to God and say, hey, God, help me in these areas. God, I believe, help my unbelief, help me to be the person you've called me to be. You know, and I'll close with this scripture. Out of the book, here we go, about 100 more to go. No, one more scripture. Okay, out of the book of Exodus. And in Exodus, there's the big tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness, and the priests are going towards the tabernacle to worship God. But before they get to the tabernacle, there's a huge bronze basin filled with water, like a cup and a big saucer on the bottom, with water on the bottom. And before they went to the tabernacle to worship God, they had to stop, they had to pause, they had to put their feet in the saucer, because they'd picked up some dirt on the journey. And their hands had picked up some dirt from the desert. And as they washed their feet and they washed their hands, they would look into the water. And you know what? That bronze basin was made. It's in Exodus 30. Interesting story. Was made out of mirrors that the ladies had bought to give to God so they could build the tabernacle. And they melted down all these mirrors and they made this big basin. So when, before they went into the house of God to worship, they had to clean off their stuff. But they had to look in the water. And who did they see? They saw themselves as they really were. And can I say this? It's great. I'm not a navel gazer. I don't want you spending the next, you know, 5 years on a hilltop sort of meditating on your own navel. Forget that. But I want us to pause as we're going about our business in our daily lives to wash off the stuff that we've picked up, to see ourselves as we really are, and to bring ourselves before God and say, hey, God, I need help. I'm not a perfect person, but I'm on a journey to being the person. I'm on a journey to being my best self. Tune me up, God, and make me into the person that you've always wanted me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.